Amen. 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 Good morning, saints. Morning, church. Well, I'm grateful once again to be invited to speak to you this morning. And I'm thankful to Pastor Gary and also the PCC staff for inviting me again to come and deliver God's message for you this morning. Such a wonderful opportunity to do that. And I do say that this is my home away from home, so I enjoy being a part of the family. Amen? Amen. And I believe that there is no family like the family of God. Amen? There is no family like the family of God. But before we get started, if you would just please join with me as we begin in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time and we present everything before you, O God. As we begin to open your word and begin to speak from your word, Lord God, hide me behind the cross at this moment and that you will speak to your people, O God. We pray that you will touch each and every single lives that are here this morning and may they walk out of here much better than when they came in, Father. We ask you to bless them, bless your word, and just have the glory and praise in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So we've been dealing with the topic, Better Together. And Better Together is based on the premise that life is better together than being alone. Life is much better together than being alone. So in the first sermon of the series, Pastor Gary spoke about life being better when done with Jesus. Amen? And then he followed up on the second sermon and he preached that life is better when done in a community and that there are many, many good benefits of being in a church community. Amen? He also reminded us that the church, there is no better community than the church community. And I listened to the sermon and you hear that wonderful message that he spoke about when Jesus told the disciples, asked the disciples the question of who do men say that I am? And then he transitioned that to who do you say that I am? Because the important thing is not what people say about Jesus, is what we, the people of God, say about him. Amen? And so today we will be dealing with the subject of better relationships or better friendships. You'll hear me say those two words interchangeably. It's pretty much the same thing. We'll be talking about better relationship and better friendships. And this is with the premise that there is more advantages to being in a relationship than being alone and isolated. Let me repeat that again. There are more advantages to being in a relationship than being alone and isolated. Now, by show of hands, how many of you guys are on Facebook or on a social media site, have a social media account? All right, now here's a question. How many of you have about 100 friends or more on your social media site? All right, very good. How many of you have about less than 100, 50, between 1 to 50 friends? All right? And how many of you have at least one good friend in your life? How many of you have that? At least one good friend that you have in your life. All right. Now, listen to this. According to Pew Research done in the year 2014, which I think is the 10th anniversary of Facebook, it says that 39% of adult Facebook users have between 1 and 100 friends. 23% have between 101 to 250 friends. 20% have between 251 to 500 friends. That's a lot of friends. Now, how would that be amongst young people? Listen to this. 27% of 18 to 29-year-old Facebook users have more than 500 friends in their network. That's very interesting. While 72% of users age 65 or older have 100 friends or fewer. So it's like a 5-to-1 difference with young people than it is with older people. So you can see that as you get older, the friendship circle becomes a little bit smaller. Now, in reading this, do you think that relationships are important? I think so. Now, that brings us to asking the question, okay, what is a friend? What is a friend? All right? Now, the word friend comes from the old English word friond, and the word began to circulate from the year 1200 to about 1640. That's from the year 1200 to about 1640. Now, the word became known as relationship from 1640 to about 1944. It was in after 1944 that we begin to associate relationship to being romantic or sexual. So before that, relationship was considered friends, as we know it, and there was nothing sexual or relational involved, romantic involved, I should say, and that didn't change. Now, until Facebook started in about 2005, they have began to see a decline in the amount of people who had many friends. All right. A 2004 study published in the American Sociological Review revealed that the average number of trusted friends fell by a third in the past 20 years, and the proportion of people with no confidence had doubled. A 10-year study by the Center for Aging at Flinders University found that a network of friends was more important than close family relatives in prolonging life. People age over 70 with an extensive network tended to live 22% longer than those with less extensive network. So people who have a great number of friends in the older years of life have a longer lifespan than those who don't. Now, not having close confidence or friends can be as detrimental to your health as being overweight or smoking. Never thought about that. And so that brings us to what the Bible is teaching us this morning, and we're going to get into it in a moment, that having better friends in life provides greater advantages than being alone and being isolated. Now, according to God's word, God created us for relationships. God has created the church as the best community to cultivate meaningful relationships that will foster our physical, emotional, and spiritual growth or well-being. Subsequently, the world has created their own counterfeit version of friendship or community, and we can see this in our local bars. Now, this kind of brings me back to a 80s sitcom that many of you would probably get used to. Is a sitcom by the name of Cheers. You remember Cheers with Ted Danson and some other folks in there, right? And you remember that the setting of that sitcom took place in a bar. And it is important because a bar is like a pseudo community that is created really by the world to kind of foster relationships. Because you go in a bar and you get to know people, you get to meet people, and you get a chance to have great friends around alcohol. Most of the people that go there don't really go there for the alcohol, but it's really that they go there for what? The song says, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. You remember that song? Sing with me. And they're always glad you came. Right? You want to go where? You want to go where everybody knows your name. That is very interesting, that in order to foster relationships and in order to get to know people and to build friendship, most people have to go to their local bar to be able to do that, to be able to get to know each other, to be able to get to be intimate with each other. It is surrounded by alcohol, and this is what the world is offering. But the Bible is offering totally different when it comes to the church, because God has created the church, and you learned that last week, as the best community to foster those relationships so that you and I can grow physically, spiritually, and emotionally so that we can serve God in our lives. Amen? Amen. Now, there are three qualities of great friendship. There are three qualities of great friendship that we're going to talk about today. Because sometimes we have these wonderful people that have come into our lives, and we always ask ourselves, well, why am I friends with that person? You ever had some people in your life that you're like, why did I even meet them? Why? What is it about them that actually attracted them to me? Or why am I even friends with you? It's some people you say, well, why do I even call? You ever had some friends that you call them and you need some help and they're not even there? They don't even show you. Why am I friends with you? Why do I even have you as my friend on Facebook? I'm just going to put that unfriend sign real quick. So we're going to talk about some qualities of being a great friend. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you if you could please turn with me in the scriptures to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we're going to be reading from verse number 7 all the way to verse number 12. All right, I'll join with you as I turn around. I hate to turn my back. I'll turn to the side. Now, Ecclesiastes says, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment?" Next page. "Because they have a..." Wait, okay. "And if either..." Wait, okay. I apologize. Verse 9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Now, let me give you a little bit of background about the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes was written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. His name is King Solomon. King Solomon had a father that most of you might hear. His name is King David. He was actually the greatest king that Israel has ever known. And King Solomon was his son, and King Solomon became the wisest man because he asked God to give him wisdom so he can lead the people. And because he asked God for wisdom and not riches and not wealth and not power, God gave him the wisdom that nobody else on this earth save Jesus was able to achieve. So Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. All right? Now, Solomon, this book of Ecclesiastes was written about 935 BC, and that was near the ending of his life. Now, what was interesting about Solomon was that he had not only the wisdom, but he had all the riches that you can ever think of. If you ever get a chance to read in the book of Kings and see some of the wealth that Solomon had, it will blow your mind. People actually came to Solomon and brought him gold. That's just how rich this guy was. So he had a life of luxury. He had a life of everything that he could ever want or ask for. And you know what Solomon said? Solomon said, "Listen, it is all vapor." He concludes in the end of it that, "Listen, what is most important is not the stuff that you have in life, but it's that you fear God and that you keep his commandment, because these are essential to the existence of life." Now, we go to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, Solomon offers a contrast between two people. The contrast is between the man who tend to live his life alone and isolated versus people who live their lives together. And that's why he starts out and he starts talking that there are two that are better than one in verse number 9. So in the one road, he viewed that if you're living your life alone and isolated, you're living your life in a negative light. But when you live your life together with other people, where you're building relationships, you are now living your life in the positive life, and those may have positive consequences or positive reward. Now, what Solomon was trying to explain to us was that friendship is one of the best investment that you can have. Friendship is one of the best investment that you can have. Listen to what he said in verse number 9. He says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. In other words, what Solomon was talking about was that when you have two people, you can be more productive. You can be more productive as if you could do it by yourself. The other thing that Solomon was saying is that, listen, if you have two people, you have a better support system. You have a better support system than if you were able to do it by yourself. And then he goes on to say, well, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. So what Solomon is saying, one of the greatest qualities that a friend can have is that he is a support. He is a support system. That's what Solomon is saying. Now, some of us have friends, and there are some of us that have acquaintances. I guarantee you, if you look at the number of friends that you have on Facebook or on social media or even in your life, you would be able to classify them in two categories. Okay, these are people who are really close to me, and then there are some people who are I just know them. We're just acquaintances. How do you know the difference between a friend or acquaintance? The way you know the difference between a friend or an acquaintance is get in a jam. Whenever you are in a jam, that's when you know who your real friends are. How many of you can testify of that? Amen? It is when you are going through the difficult part of your life that you really get a chance to understand who is really your friend. And so what Solomon is saying here, that friendship offers the best support in your life. You know what supporting does? The definition of support, it means to hold up, which is essentially to prevent something from falling. It's kind of like this here is kind of like a support for this building to prevent it from collapsing. And that's what a friend does. A friend supports you to keep you from falling. So if you look back in your life and you look at some of the people, if you have some people in your life that are bringing you down, they're not supporting you. And what you need to do is change your friendship so that you can build your life with people who are going to what? Support you, who are going to hold you up. So that is one of the things that friendship does. The other thing that friendship does is that they reach out to you. You ever go through some things in your life where you just feel like you're all alone? And then all of a sudden, a friend just call you up on the phone and be like, hey, listen, you were just on my mind. I don't know what it is, but I'm praying for you. Do you need me to come over? Do you need me to hang out with you? Do you need me to do anything? Whatever it is you need, they are now reaching out. They don't just sit back and be like, oh, she ain't calling me. I'm not calling her. I mean, she's been seeing, I've been posting stuff online, but she don't even put a like or nothing. Want to have nothing to do with her. Bye. So what Solomon here is saying is, listen, when you have better friendship in your life, you have a better support system. Then he gives the contrast about the person who don't have that support system in their life, who lives their life alone and isolated. Well, here is the thing that we need to understand. God never created us to be alone. If you look back in the book of Genesis, when Moses was writing about the beginning of time and when God created the heavens and the earth and he created all the animals and God created man, all the animals had two. They had a pair. And Adam was all alone. And when God saw Adam alone, God said, "It is not good that man be alone." And what did God do? God decided that I'm going to make him a companion. We were created for companionship. We were created with friendship in mind so that we can grow physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So God never created us to be like that. So what Solomon here is saying, hey, listen, the person who doesn't have any friend, he said, pity the one who falls but has no one to help him up. If you really go through this chapter of chapter 4, you would find that in the first, from verse number 7 all the way to verse number 9, Solomon is giving you a little bit of information about the person who likes to isolate himself and become alone. And one of the things that Solomon said is, listen, whenever you keep yourself isolated and you're alone and it's all about you, what you find is that not even your finances will make you happy. Some people think that, okay, I'm single, I can do whatever I want, and you can go out there and work hard and try to make as much money as you want, but guess what? Eventually, Solomon is saying, it's not going to bring you the satisfaction that you would need. It said that there's a guy that had no brother, he had no friends, he had no family, he had no one to share anything with, so he becomes covetous, and he only thinks about himself. Listen, when you're alone and you're isolated, the only thing you can think about is you. Because when you spend a lot of time with yourself, guess what? The only thing you think about is yourself. And so Solomon was saying, listen, in order for you to have better life, in order for you to grow spiritually, you need to have a better support system. You need to have a better help. So Solomon is saying, hey, listen, two are better than one because you have a good return for their labor. So the first quality we talk about is that you need to have a good support system. You need to have a good support system. You think about David and Jonathan. Now, David, we talk about King David, who is the father of Solomon, who was Israel's greatest king. He had a friend. His name was Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, the Bible says, loved David. They both had a very real relationship, friendship relationship, a relationship that was built on friendship. Jonathan was supposed to be the next king because, remember, Saul was the first king, right? And because Saul disobeyed God, God decided that he's going to take away the kingdom from Saul, and he was going to give it to David. By right, Jonathan was supposed to be the next king. But when Jonathan met David, and he started realizing the plan that God had for David's life, Jonathan abandoned the throne to help his friend David. He supported David in everything that he did. He actually supported him even until his death. When you really have a friend who is interested in you, who wants to support you, they will support you all the way until the very end. And that's why it is important for us to have better friendship so that we can have a better support system. Now, the second quality that better friendship provides is comfort. The second quality that better friendship provides is comfort. Now, in verse 11 says, if you can see it on there, I'll read it out. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? What Solomon was speaking about here, he was speaking about the issue of comfort. When you lie down together and there is warmth in between both of you, Solomon is saying, listen, there is comfort. Now, why was that necessary? You have to understand that in Palestine during those times, in the wintertime, it would get extremely cold. And the only thing that people had back then, they didn't have blankets like we do. They didn't have snuggles. And they didn't have all these comforters that we have, that we use whenever we're cold today. What they had was the clothes that they wear. And what they would do is they will go to sleep in their clothes. But because they were so cold and they had nothing to cover them, the best thing that they could do to keep themselves warm was they all bundled up together. I remember when I was a kid, and there was probably about 11 of us growing up in the house. And I remember at night when it really, it used to get extremely cold, we never had a comforter. But guess what we all did? We all just snuggled right up together. Y'all ever done that before? Just snuggle up together. Why? Because the body temperature just goes all over and all of us start feeling warm. And then we all start feeling comforted. Now listen to this. A friend offers comfort. They offer comfort through two ways. They offer comfort emotionally and they offer comfort physically. They offer comfort emotionally and physically. Now, how do they offer comfort emotionally? They offer comfort emotionally by the encouragement that they give you. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 17, it says that as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpens another. Now, I'm from the islands, and I remember there were times when we didn't have a sharpener to sharpen our knives. And one of the things that we would do is we would get the two knives together and we would rub them against each other. Some of you guys remember that, right? You would rub them together. When you rub those two knives together, it would make a lot of noise. It would be annoying. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of spark that comes from it. But at the end, those knives were so sharp. In other words, when you have a friend, you tend to sharpen the other person. So whenever your friend or whenever you're going through difficult times in life, whenever you're going through periods where you have lost someone or where you have been let down or where you've just been down and out and just don't know what to do, a friend can come over and offer some comfort. Some comfort and some encouragement that will help you to get back on your feet again. So they offer comfort during those difficult times. The other thing that they do is they offer comfort physically. They offer comfort physically. Now, the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. Notice the words that are synonymous with friend, love. A friend loves at all time. You know, we have so many different definitions of what we think love is. Most people, you talk about love and all they can think about is the emotional connection or the relational connection. But one of the things, if I can give you the best definition there is of love, I'm going to give it to you right now. Here is it. Love makes the other person better. You hear that? Love makes the other person better. In other words, the other person gets the benefit. You see, some people we only love because of what we think we can get. Right? We love, you know, some people they're thinking about marriages and they're thinking about a relationship. And the only thing they're thinking about is, what can you do for me? But love, my brothers and sister, love friends, what love does, love thinks about the other person. So when you're actually, when your friends or when you're going through difficult times, you don't want someone to come around you and start talking about them. Don't you hate when you bring up a conversation about something that you're experiencing in your life and all of a sudden they just start talking about themselves? And you're like, wait a second. What about me here? What about my feelings? What about my emotions? Not every conversation is about you. So when you are a friend, the Bible says you love at all times. Your job is to make the other person better. The other person gets the benefit of that love. It benefits the other person. And that's how you offer comfort physically. Now, when I think about comfort physically, I think about Job. Now, Job, the Bible had said, was one of the wealthiest men on the earth at that time. God gave him so many things. God gave him a wife. He had children. He had a whole lot of possessions. And he lost it all. Right behind each other. Now, here was a guy who had everything that he can think of. He had no need for anything. And in just like that, it was gone. But the interesting thing about the story of Job, whenever you get a chance, you can read it, was that Job had three friends. And those three friends came around Job, and all they did was just hung around Job. They sat there with Job and they mourned with him for 3 days. Think about that. When you're going through the difficult times that you're going through, when you're going through the periods of impossibility, what you need is people who can just be there. Just hang around me for a little bit. Just spend some time. You don't really have to say anything. Just your presence is enough. Because your physical presence offers comfort. I am comforted to know that you are there. Think about it. When you're going through difficult times, don't you just need somebody by you, just right by your side? Just someone you can touch, talk to? They don't even need to solve your problems. All you need them to do is just to be there. That's what a friend offers. That's what a friend provides. And that's why Solomon is saying, two are better than one. Because when you have that, when you don't have that, Solomon says that one person cannot keep themselves warm. No matter how much you try, no matter how much you try to comfort yourself, that need that you have will never be able to be met because God has provided other people to provide that for you. And that is one of the beauty of the church. That is one of the beauty of why we exist, is that we offer that kind of comfort to one another. Emotionally, whatever you're going through, physically, whatever you're going through, we are there. We support you. We will hang around you if you have to. I tell you, one of the things that caused a lot of growth in my Christian life was the friends that I had. I think it was 1996, I was about 18 years old. There's a brother by the name of Peter Dawkins. Most of you guys might know him. He came to me one day and he said, Calvin, we have this conference that we're going to in, where was this one? In Jacksonville, called Promise Keepers. And he said, I would like for you to come. So he invited me and another one of my friends. And we both went together with Peter. Now, Peter is much older than I am. And for him to actually ask me that at a young age, I really admired that. And you know what happened on that ride from here to Jacksonville? We spent a lot of time together. We talked about issues. We had that emotional connection to where we became friends. And as a matter of fact, throughout my spiritual journey, Peter has always been there. And every time I wanted to do something, he always encouraged me and he always supported me. And he said, Calvin, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And you know what? It helped me and it molded me and it helped me to become the man I am today. Because God provided those friendships for those emotional support that we needed in order to grow as Christians. Amen? And so it's a good thing when we can actually get a chance to have someone who cares about us emotionally, who would like to hang around us physically. And that brings me on to the third point. And the third quality that better friendship provides is security. Is security. Listen to what Solomon said in verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. What Solomon was saying here was that friends go to battle for each other. Friends go to battle for each other. You ever had a friend that just stood up for you before? And even though you may have been wrong, even though you may have gone through some difficulty, they look at you and they said, you know what, I got your back. You know, when I was a kid in about maybe sixth grade or so, there used to be a saying, I got your back, way back, which means you can't really count on me. Friends can count on each other. Friends can depend on each other. Whenever the going gets tough, whenever they're feeling attacked on all sides, a friend come and they go to bat for each other. They stand up for one another. They protect one another. No matter what you're going through, only a friend can do that. Friends don't betray each other. You see, when Solomon was speaking about that friends got each other's back and friend was defending each other, what Solomon was using was a military term. And during those days, what they would do is they would line up together back to back. And the reason why they did that was to protect each other's back. So what Solomon was saying here is, listen, as a friend, don't stab each other in the back. Friends do that. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a talk show the other day, and a person called in, a lady called in, and she was so heartbroken. And the reason why was because she had a friend that she invited in her home, and that friend came in her home, and that friend became friends with her and her husband, and then eventually that friend worked her way in and broke their marriage apart. She stabbed her friend in the back. Because all she was about was her own self. Some of you have had some friends or people who you have called friends before that have stabbed you in the back. That has wounded you. And because that has wounded you, what it has done, what it did, it caused you to say, you know what? I will never trust another person again. But if you do that, what you have just done is you have allowed yourself to become alone and isolated. And when you allow yourself to become alone and isolated, guess what? Solomon said it in the ending of verse number 8. He says, your life will be miserable. Your life will become misery. Because you know what? If you fall, there's no one to help you. If you're cold, there's no one to comfort you. If you're in trouble, there's no one who is going to defend you. Friends, don't betray each other. Why? Because they treat each other as they would like to be treated. Friends, treat each other as they would like to be treated. This is what is called the golden rule in the scripture. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, there is a verse that says, a man who has many friends himself must become friendly. You see, the interesting thing is, friend is not a one-way street. Friend is not a one-way street. Friend is a two-way street. There is supposed to be some reciprocal movements going on, some back and forth, where if I'm loving you and you're loving me, we have been protected on all sides. And we've been comforted and supported on all sides because of the love that is flowing between the two of us. Now, if you find that you're giving more than the other person is giving, don't stop giving. Find another friend. Because obviously you don't really have a friend, but what you have is a what? An acquaintance. An associate, someone who only cares about their own needs. It is important, my brothers and sisters, it is important that we cultivate better friendship. Why? That is the reason why God have created the church, so that we can become a community that fosters better relationship that will help us physically, spiritually, and emotionally, so that we can grow and be the people that God has called us to be. The last point that I want to make is this. If you notice the ending of verse 12, what Solomon said. Solomon said, I've just told you that two is better than one. Then he said, I'm going to give you something that's going to blow your mind. Not only do I believe two is better than one, but I believe three is better than two and one. And that's why Solomon said, look at the last verse, he says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. What is Solomon talking about? You ever had a piece of thread and you just pull it and all of a sudden it just pop? That's what happens when you do things all by yourself. It's easy for you to just pop. You ever notice that when people are having a psychotic break and things like that, they have it when they're by themselves? Spend too much time by yourself. But look what Solomon says. Okay, if you have two, you are a little bit stronger. Because the two, you can stretch it, and it probably won't pop. It may pop, but you know what? It may take a lot longer to break. But he says, listen, but when you have three, and he's not talking about three threads that are just lining side by side. Solomon was actually talking about a plait. You ever, when my daughter was young, I used to plait her hair. Y'all probably prayed for her a lot. When my wife used to be away and she wasn't able to be there, I used to plait my daughter's hair. I was one of those fathers that did that. And I thought I was doing such a great job. But you know how our hair are when you start plaiting it and you don't put something on the end to kind of hold it? Guess what happened? It starts unraveling. So my daughter, the plait became, I don't know what it became when she went to school. I remember one time I took her to the school and the lady just like, okay, let me help you out, sir. You know, when we can't plait properly, what we do? We just find one of those squingies and we just take it and put it in there and we're like, okay, now you look good. So she got stuff sticking out like this walking to school looking like Coolio. I hope some of you guys remember who Coolio is. Maybe you don't. Anyways, look it up on the internet. But she had these plaits that were just going on. But what Solomon here was saying was, listen, when you have a cord of three strands, it's not easily broken. But what was Solomon talking about? Solomon was saying, two is good. But I want to introduce you to a third party. And the third party that I want to introduce you to is not another friend, as we may think, but the third party that I want to introduce you to is Jesus Christ. Because when you have Jesus Christ and you have a wonderful friend and the three of you together, it is not easily broken. Why? Because Jesus holds the two and he connects them together, and there is nothing that will be able to separate you from that. A cord of three strand is not easily broken. Solomon says, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Wow. If you can have a friend that sticketh closer to you than a brother, that's a friend. Because some of our friends are good, and we have good relationships with them. But when it comes to family, family is better. But here Solomon is saying, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ is that friend. And some of you may say, well, you know what? I'm so bad in my life that nobody would want to be my friend. You know what was interesting? Is that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. In other words, you know, when people are going through bad stuff, Jesus don't just walk on the other side. Jesus come right to them and said, hey, listen, I want to be your friend. Me? Dirty? Stinking me? Smelly me? Nobody wants to hang around me. And Jesus says, yes, I want to hang around you. Why? Because I want to support you. When you're going through your difficult times, I want to comfort you. When people are coming to attack you, and when they're coming to try to destroy your life, I will give you security. I will defend you. I've got your back. And Jesus gave the example of why he is the greatest friend. He says, greater love has no man than this. That what? A man lays down his life for his friends. To show you how much Jesus wants you to be his friend. To show you how much Jesus really loves you and wants to have a wonderful relationship with you. He demonstrated it. He was willing to die for you. A friend like that you cannot live without. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, I want to tell you that he's a friend and he is waiting to connect with you. He wants to build a relationship with you. Jesus wants to be your friend. And Jesus says, you know what? I will do whatever it costs so that I can be your friend. And you know what he did? He did what it cost to become your friend. He died so that he can become your friend. Jesus wants to be your friend. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like to invite you to start a relationship with him. As Pastor Gary said in the first series, life is better when it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't care who's looking around right now. I don't care what's happening in your life. You need a friend. And you need a friend like Jesus. And he wants to be your friend. So I'm going to ask you, if you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just simply just hold your hand up? If you want to become his friend this morning, if you want to begin that relationship with him, would you just simply indicate by raising your hand? Trust me, there is no better friend. You will not find another friend like Jesus. You will not find a friend who is willing to give up their lives for you like Jesus does. And he is saying, listen, I want to meet you where you are. I want to have that relationship with you. Won't you just accept his invitation? Won't you just simply just raise your hand? Just simply raise your hand this morning. Think about it, folks. Think about it. The invitation that Jesus is giving here is an invitation that you would want to accept. Because physically, emotionally, and spiritually, he will make your life better. Won't you accept him this morning? Won't you accept him this morning? He is waiting to hear from you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you. Don't reject him. Because you know what was interesting about Jesus? He said, my friendship is to offer for you free. And he said, listen, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. But he said, if you reject me before men, I will reject you before my Father. The only time that you will be rejected is when you never put your trust in Jesus. But he wants to accept you right now, right where you are. It doesn't matter your condition. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He is the friend of sinners. Let's put our trust in him. Let me give you the invitation one more time. If you would like to trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, would you simply just indicate by raising your hand? If you are here and you know that you've had some issues with some friends in your life, or you may feel isolated, you may feel alone, like I have no one, I would just offer some recommendation. Number one, I would ask you to pray. Pray and ask God to send someone in your life that is going to support you, comfort you, and defend you, and be a friend to you. And the last thing I would say is, you become a friend. You become the person who supports someone. You become the friend who comforts someone. And you become the friend that defends someone. With that, let's go to prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we present your people to you. Your word has spoken. Father, we know that you are already working in the hearts of your people. We know that you are already working in the hearts of every single person in here today. And we're asking you, Lord God, to help them to come to know the best friend that anyone could ever have, and that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those, Lord God, who knows you, but are having some difficulty because they've been isolated. They've been staying away from you. They're staying away from each other, but they want to have that relationship. Provide the people in their lives that's going to support them, that's going to comfort them and defend them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.